I may walk slowly, but I never walk backward. Abraham Lincoln. From the moment that Jesus proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," in his hometown synagogue, and declared his mission as good news to the poor, the oppressed, and the outcast, the movement and the energy around him has been building and building. What started out as a ragtag few has become a swelling multitude. Jesus' Galilean ministry has been an exhilarating sequence of healings and miracles, declarations and responses, whispered words and rallies so raucous they would make even a rock star recoil. He has restored the sight to the blind. He has fed the hungry. He has put those know-it-alls in their place. These past months, the disciples have had privileged access to the power of Jesus as he healed the sick and raised the dead and calmed the storm. Even the wind and the wave are under his command, they marvel to each other. What a remarkable time this was for them. Those chosen few plucked from their ordinary lives as fishers and farmers and tax collectors. Now to be riding shotgun with the Son of Man, the Messiah of God, the promised one of the stories that everyone knew, the chosen one who was to vanquish the occupiers from their land and restore the nation to its rightful place in the order of things. So much energy, so much power, building and building. This is all going somewhere. They knew it. They could feel it. And then the call goes out. The time has come. They were on the move. Onwards, the cry goes out. Onwards to Jerusalem, like a great parade. This is what they have been waiting for the march to victory and glory. Onwards to Jerusalem. And there, amidst the excitement and the clamor, Jesus catches Peter's eye and he holds the disciples back. It's time. It's time to let them know. It's time to let them know what he has known all along. The Son of Man, he tells them, must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed and on the third day be raised. If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Stunned, bewildered, confused, how could this be? What could this mean? And then moving forward again, they come to a Samaritan village where they plan to stop and rest, but they were outsiders there. Samaritans and Jews were distrustful of each other, and the people there would not receive them. Stung by this rejection, James and John pipe up, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. They did not understand. They did not yet understand who he was, what he came to do, and what kind of march they were really on. Then three people, one after the other, approached Jesus, wanting to join him, wanting to follow him to Jerusalem, more for the ranks, good. But then three times, his response was sharp and not what anyone expected. If you follow me, you will be unsettled and uncomfortable. If you follow me, you must leave behind all you know. If you follow me, you must turn your back on all you thought was important. If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. What was all this about, Jesus? For those confused disciples, the ones who thought they were the sharp end of God's spear of justice, all this talk of suffering and rejection and crosses must have been alarming. There, on what they thought to be a march to victory, it must have been like a huge step backwards. This is our Pride Sunday, the Sunday when we affirm afresh what we declare every Sunday, that this community publicly, intentionally, and explicitly affirms God's love for LGBTQ2S+ people. As we said at the beginning of the service, we are all cherished, we are all celebrated, we are all included in God's love. And later this afternoon, some of us will march in the Pride Parade. There will be bright colors and much cheering and celebration, and it will be very good, especially after these past 2 years of COVID separation. But amidst all the energy and excitement, I was reminded recently by a member of the LGBTQ community that there is genuine fear and anxiety in the community this year. In many ways recently, when it comes to acceptance and equality, it feels like North American society has taken serious steps backwards. There are many examples of this, one being the so-called Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, which has been copycatted in over 20 US states that limits the discussion of LGBTQ topics in schools. While the legislation is couched in language of parental rights, what it really seeks to do is to undermine and claw back the rights of LGBTQ citizens, to drive them back into the shadows, and to use their identities as a wedge issue in the politics of division. There is genuine fear and anxiety about the repealing of Roe versus Wade, obviously because it is a huge step backwards for reproductive rights and the rights of women, but also how the ruling may open the door to claw back other hard-won victories like marriage equality. And while Canada is not the United States, it is undeniable that the same intolerant views exist here and are becoming increasingly emboldened and vocal. One local example. At the start of Pride Month, a few weeks ago, anti-gay and anti-trans preachers set up with megaphones at the corner of Church and Wellesley, just up the street from here, to spew hate and thump Bibles in an attempt to intimidate the neighborhood's residents and visitors. On this Pride Sunday, I am very conscious of all the people who have heard Jesus' words twisted against them because of their gender and sexual identities. I am very conscious of the way some Christians use scripture out of context to condemn their LGBTQ siblings. Given the alarming strength of fundamentalism in North America, it is easy for me to imagine how today's gospel reading could be weaponized, as it describes Jesus essentially telling people to leave family members behind to follow him. Many households continue to turn away their LGBTQ children due to a deadly and exclusive reading of scripture. Some of you may have experienced this yourselves. Consider that of the estimated 150,000 young people experiencing homelessness in Canada right now, up to 40% of them identify as LGBTQ2S+. Rejection of someone based on a small-minded, literalist interpretation of the Bible, rejection of anyone, but especially a child for being who they are, for being who God made them, is unconscionable to me. And it is certainly unchristian. The mission of Jesus, who is the Christ, has always been and will always be to the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, the rejected of this world. Jesus, who is the Christ, knew the pain of rejection, rejection by his hometown neighbors, rejection by his friends, and as we see in today's gospel text, rejected by those who would not receive him because he was socially and spiritually different. In this world, all too often, when we experience rejection like this, our instinct is to lash out. It is to hurt as we have been hurt. It is to want to do what James and John wanted to do and rain down fire, a righteous fire that consumes and destroys. But knowing their hearts, Jesus turned and rebuked them. He is on a different kind of march. Jesus does not curse the city that rejected him. He does not vilify the people. He does not engage in the age-old and small-minded religious and cultural disputes that pit neighbor against neighbor. Any action that results in violence or scapegoating or shame is directly and completely rejected. There is no place in his ministry for the fires of condemnation. Jesus, who is the Christ, has come to preach love, not hate. And in his mission, he will not be deterred. He will not be distracted. His face is set onwards, onwards to Jerusalem. This single-minded focus made Jesus hard to follow then and makes him hard to follow now. The Jesus we encounter in our text today is uncompromising, even to the point of alienating those around him. Respect for parents and the burial of the dead were sacred obligations in the Old Testament and Jewish tradition, Jesus' own tradition, into which he came to not to abolish, but to fulfill. And so we should read his words not as a call to abandon responsibility, but as a means to shock his hearers out of their complacency and their status quo thinking, and to drive out misunderstanding about who he was and what he came to do. Jesus was not the Messiah people expected him to be. His was not a victory march of arms and fire, but one of suffering and self-giving that would bring him into full and complete solidarity with the suffering of this world. The incarnation, the enfleshment of God, had not come to conquer, but to bring good news to the poor, the oppressed, the rejected, by himself becoming homeless, by himself being judged and shamed and cast aside. And then when it appeared as if the forces of evil and death had prevailed, to rise in glory and demonstrate for all to see what the power of God's love can do. When it comes to LGBTQ rights and the empowerment of women and girls, or reconciliation, or the care of creation, or the fight against racism, we are too often satisfied by moral victories or the baby steps of incremental change. And we are discouraged and even demoralized when we take steps backwards. There is genuine fear and anxiety about the road ahead. But to be a person of faith and to be a follower of Jesus means affirming. It means affirming what Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. affirmed, that the arc of the moral universe always bends towards justice. It means seeing the Bible not as a tool of oppression, but as a guide for transformation. It means expecting big things from God and from ourselves as children of God. It means asking ourselves, what great things will God do through me today? As Elisha found out in 2 Kings, when it comes to fulfilling God's mission, when we move forward in trust and with love, God is more than willing to hand out double portions of the Spirit. The road to Jerusalem is long and it is hard. Jesus does not sugarcoat this. There is rejection and disappointment along the way. The ways of death are forever seeking to capture humanity in their clutches, and the fruits they bear are homophobia and transphobia and xenophobia and misogyny and racism and bigotry and all forms of hatred. On the long road to Jerusalem, Jesus compels us to do the hard inner work of rejecting the ways of death that seek to take hold, take root within us. As Reverend MacDonald de Champlain puts it, the road to Jerusalem is not a vacation, it is a vocation. Authentic discipleship is a daily practice of rejecting the imperialistic temptations to lash out, to judge, to harm, so that a new kingdom may take root in our hearts and in our world. Jesus' face is set on Jerusalem, and there will be no delays, no distractions, no turning back. Although some may have wished it, fire did not rain down on those homophobic street preachers that set up at the corner of Church and Wellesley a few weeks ago. But something did happen. Some community members pulled a sound system out onto the sidewalk and blasted at full, fabulous volume Lady Gaga's Born This Way again and again and again and again. Hate will never drive out hate. Vengeance only breeds more vengeance. The road to Jerusalem is long and hard, but it is also filled with song and dance and celebration. On this Pride Sunday, we march onwards, onwards for acceptance, onwards for understanding, onwards for love, onwards with pride for who we are exactly as we are, because as Lady Gaga says, God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way.